When you hear the word character, what does that make you think of? What comes to mind when somebody says, you know, something about somebody's character? Maybe somebody has said something about your character, or maybe even you've had a thought about the character of another person. So what are those things that come to mind when you think about those? Well, we're glad that you're joining us today. We're going to start a new series today on developing Christ-like character. Today, we want to look at one of the first and main attributes of the characters of God, and that essentially is the foundation of love. So grab your Bible, come on back, we'll see you in just a second. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible Study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're so glad that you are joining us. A moment ago, I mentioned that we're actually going to be beginning a new series on the character of God. So we can look at what attributes that He has, which ones we should have as well as we try our best to emulate Him. And today we want to look at the foundation of it all. The foundation of it all is love. If you have your Bible, and I want to encourage you to have it, either that, go, you know, run over and grab it real quick. I'll give you just a minute. We're going to be looking at some passages that come out of the book of 1 John chapter 4. That's going to be 1 John chapter 4. And what we're going to do is we're going to begin looking at those characteristic or attributes of our Heavenly Father. And one of those certainly is love. So if you've got your Bible, again, we're going to be looking at 1 John chapter 4. Particularly, we're going to deal today with verses 7 through 12. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12 reads as follows. It says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Verse 8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Verse 10, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. Would you pray with me? Father, as we come to you today, again, we're grateful, we're excited to have this opportunity to once again gather around your word. We pray that in every aspect of what we do, we might magnify you. But today, Lord, for these few moments, I pray that you would give us clarity into your word. May the Holy Spirit speak to us in a very loud and clear way. And then, Lord, also we ask for courage along the way where there are adjustments in our lives that may need to be made, that you would give us courage to do so. But, Father, first and foremost, we just ask that today we would hear you, that we would look at these characteristics and qualities of who you are, particularly as we go forward in our lives, and help us to become more like you. As always, Father, I pray that as your messenger for these moments, that you would use me as your vessel, that your word truly would be disseminated to all those that are in earshot of this message today. So, Father, bless our time as only you can, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, when we look at this particular scripture text and we begin to see that love truly is the foundation of who God really is. So I want to throw a couple of questions at you today, and in a like manner, I want to answer those questions. So the first thing I want to ask is, what is the main command that is given in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7? Now, in the passage, 1 John 4, 7, you know, we see the call. And the call is, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Now, this command emphasizes that love is an essential characteristic of a believer's life. It has to be. Yet that is who we are. And honestly, I believe that that's one of the things that makes the greatest difference as a lost and dying world looks at us. If they see us loving as we ought to be, then that is something that they want to be a part of. You know, the type of love that God has for us, we should try to emulate as best we can to those that are around us. Now, I know that that's a very difficult task, but I will say this, even though it's difficult, God doesn't cut us any slack on it. He says, this is the way that we're supposed to love. I've made this comment in our church before that if we loved people as we ought to in a biblical type manner, then man, we wouldn't have enough room in the church or on the property for all the people who would want to come and to be a part of that. You know, it just seems like the further we go in time, the more we progress in the future, that what happens is people seem to be getting meaner and nastier towards one another. And that is not a characteristic of one of God's children. And this passage that we're dealing with today actually proves that. Remember, this command emphasizes that love is an essential characteristic of a believer's life. It's rooted in our relationship with God, since God is the source of true love. He is where it comes from, okay? So as believers, we're called to examine our relationships and our interactions with other people. Yeah, are they marked by genuine love and concern that comes from God? Yeah, we can always tell when people are putting on a front. We can always tell when there is a facade or when somebody is doing something because it's genuine. You know, sometimes somebody might call and check on you and they say, hey, you know, you've been on my mind. I just wanted to, you know, just check and see how you were doing because I love you and I mean that with all my heart. Now, there are people that when they do that, you know that is truly from the heart. Now, there are some other people that when you hang up the phone or you walk away from them, you're like, I wonder what that was all about. Because that is not a characteristic that marks them in your life. So you're seeing something that is outside of the norm for them. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't give people a chance, because you know what? You know, people change. They can change and should change, particularly when it comes to this particular aspect. So I'm not saying don't give people a chance. By all means do. But you also understand when it is something that is out of character for someone to do. You know, the thing that's most wanted is for people to see that kind of love in our character as our character emulates that of the Almighty. Okay, so what's something that we could do about that as we think about that concept? You know, you can reach out to someone this week who you find very difficult to love and make a deliberate effort to show them kindness and understanding. Some of y'all just said, wow, I don't know if I can do that. Most of the time your modus operandi is to stay away from that person. But as the Holy Spirit puts it across your mind today, and I'm sure He already has, there's a name or a face that came across your mind. Yeah, can you reach out to that person? And I know, I get it. Listen, they're difficult to love. But can you make a deliberate, marked effort to show them kindness and to show them understanding? You know, one of the things that I've said to folks as well is simply this. Everybody has a story, and we don't always know what's going on in the hearts and the lives of the people that are around us. You know, sometimes, you know, people sit back and say, well, this person's just mean and nasty, and you know, nobody wants to be around them. And I'm not saying that this gives them a right to do this, but their past. Maybe there are some things that happened in their past. Maybe there are some very, very deep cuts in their life of hurt. Maybe there's some deep cuts of sadness. We don't ever know. And then sometimes, I guarantee you that every one of us have had a judgment about somebody. And then all of a sudden, when you did find out about their story, all of a sudden you became a whole lot more understanding as to the reason why they acted the way they do, or the reason they talk the way that they do, or the reason they do the things that they do. Again, I'm not saying that's just a carte blanche to just walk away and treat people bad or anything, but yet we need to have some understanding. Remember what I asked you to do. I asked you to reach out to somebody this week that you find difficult to love and make that purposeful, deliberate effort to show them kindness and, what else did I say, understanding along the way. Sometimes that's hard to do, but yet maybe you just need to get to know their story. Okay, so that's one of the questions that we wanted to deal with in regard to our text today. But what's another question? Another one is, what does it mean when the text says everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God? And that's actually in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Well, the passage notes that loving others is evidence of being born of God and of knowing Him. Okay, let me say that one more time. This passage is telling us that there's evidence, loving is evidence of being born of God and knowing him. Now, we know what the word says. The word says that you must be born again. So when we're talking about that, we also understand that what that means is that we're talking about salvation. You know, when we have trusted God, when we are born of God, loving others becomes evidence of our love and our relationship that we have with God. This reflects a transformative relationship with God. There's a word that I love to use, and I've said it in many, many different ways over the years. I've even said it in many ways as we come together for our Wednesday Bible studies, but transformative is a huge word. Now, when we love others, this is a reflection of that transformative relationship that we have with God. Now, love is the fruit or the evidence of our spiritual rebirth and understanding of who God is. Now, one of the ways that I've always said this is that when you trust God, when you give your life to Him, when you are born again, when you get saved, no matter what way you want to title that, the bottom line is simply this: Jesus in you changes you. And that's where that transformation or that transformative relationship that we are talking about comes from. So let me circle back on that. This reflect, and what am I talking about? I'm talking about loving other people. That love of other people reflects a transformative relationship with God. Love is the fruit or the evidence of our spiritual rebirth, that being born again, and understanding of who God really is. So as you think about those things, you know, I've always said one of the huge things that we need to always do is not just get head knowledge of what the Bible tells us, but what do we do with it? What do we do with that knowledge when we get it in our head? It needs to trickle down to our heart, and it needs to become something that we practically apply in our lives. So how can we apply this particular concept that we're talking about in our second question today? Well, think about it like this. Assess your spiritual walk. Now, I want you to think about that for just a second. I want you to think about your spiritual walk with the Lord, your relationship that you have with Him. Do your actions and lifestyles reflect that you know God? Do they? Is love evident in your daily life? When people see you, do they see love? Is love one of those things that emanates from you in your relationships, how you talk with people, in your family, in your workplace, in your school, wherever you may be? Is that something that is evident? When people look at you, do they see love? Do they see this action of love taking place? Is it your lifestyle? And does your lifestyle reflect that you know God? You know, as I thought about that, I've often thought of so many different things. And most of you that know me, you've known that I've, you know, struggled along the way with weight issues up and down for a long time. And one of the things that I remember so poignantly in the very beginning of this journey is that just about everybody will tell us this. They'll say, diets don't work. And I get what they're saying. They don't. But what happens is you have to make a lifestyle change, healthy eating, you know, exercise, those sort of things. So it's not about a diet, it's about a change in lifestyle. And when you trust the Lord, your lifestyle should emulate the love of Him towards us and the way that we love Him. And we should carry ourselves in a manner that we are children of the King and that everybody sees the love of God in us because they are being treated with that love of God, okay? Now, some of you out there listening, you may be a person who journals. I don't really journal. I write thoughts down. That's one of the things that I do. I will write things at times. You look throughout my Bible and you'll see little notes that are written in different places. I'm not necessarily a journaler, but maybe you are. Maybe if you're not a journaler, maybe you're a note taker like I am, or a statement writer, whatever you want to call it. But to take action on this thought today about love, if you're a journaler, why don't you journal about ways that you have experienced God's love and how you can better share that love in your daily interactions with folks. Maybe you're just a jotter like I am. You'll just jot something down. Or maybe you would sit back and say, hey, you know, I can treat this coworker of mine in a little better way. I can be a little bit more patient with them. Whatever it may be, I want to encourage you this week to make that note. And part of the reason why is because when we write it down, we have an opportunity to look at it again. It helps us to better purpose to see these things happen, to see these changes come about along the way in life. So the bottom line is, when it comes down to it, what purposeful change are you going to look forward to making this week based on the fact that as you walk in your relationship with the Lord, love should emulate from your walk with Him to those that are around you, okay? Let me hit another question, okay? Another question that we can explore from our text today is, why does John say God is love in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, okay? It's a profound statement found in this scripture that's indicating the very essence of God. God truly is love. Now, this means that love is not just an attribute of God, but it is His very nature. Everything that He does is in love. So it's not just a characteristic of Him, it is who He is. One of the things that's helped me answer a lot of questions in my lifetime, a lot of spiritual questions over the many, many decades, is simply asking this question. When it comes down to something that I may struggle with, I'll ask my question, is it in the character of God? You know, does this fit with God's character? Would this action fit with the character of God? And man, I tell you, there have been a lot of times that I'd sit back and say, no. Yeah, that would not fit in God's character, and therefore it would not be of God at that particular point. Let me give you an example. You know, some might sit back and say, well, you know, I don't believe that everybody on this earth has an opportunity to go to heaven. Well, when you go back and you sit back and you think about it, and you think that God says that He is love, and that God says He would that none should perish, and we know that the character of God is that He is love, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't stack up that to say something like that would apply to the character of God. I believe that according to the Word of God, every living, breathing person will have that opportunity to come to trust Jesus Christ and to be able to spend eternity with Him in heaven. The question is, what will the person do? Will they accept that offer of salvation through Jesus Christ, or will they reject it and walk away and spend an eternity in hell? It comes down to a choice that man has. But it is not the character of God to allow, you know, people to go to hell. He's not going to push you into a relationship with Him, but the character of God is love. Now, if somebody were to say God allows people to be born simply to go to hell with never an opportunity to trust in Him and to spend eternal life in heaven, I would say that defies the character of God and His love. Now, we could have a debate over God's sovereignty as well, but that would be a different conversation for a different day. But the bottom line is, that is not reflective of God's love. So do our actions and the things that we do, the way we treat people, the way we talk to people, do they reflect God's character of love coming out in you and I? Okay? See, love is not just an attribute of God. It is His very nature. It is His very character. And everything that He does is in love. Okay? We need to model our character, our personal character, and we need to model our personal actions on God's loving nature. Okay? As you think about those things, can you evaluate where your life does not reflect God's love? And you know what? The Holy Spirit brings those things to your heart and mind. He's already, maybe for some of you, He's already put that in your heart or mind, what that particular thing or those things are that are not reflective of His love. And then I'm going to ask you to do this. As the Holy Spirit's put them on your heart, can you evaluate not only where your life does not reflect on God's love, but can you make a conscious effort to make a change in these things starting right now? You know, as you're reminded, like I say, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be something that's going to require our attention. It's going to be something that we have to keep a tight rein on. But you know, the more that we follow in the Lord's footsteps, the easier it becomes. The more that we become more loving towards others, the easier it is to be able to do that, even with those folks that may not be quite as lovable as some of the other folks that are in our lives, okay? You know, as you do that, how about committing to daily prayer of asking God to help you exemplify His love in all of your actions and in all of your decisions? You know what? I will promise you that when you do that, people are going to see that there's a difference. People are going to understand there's something different about you, and they're going to want what that is. When you love people as the Lord wants us to, man, I'm going to tell you one thing. They want to be around you. They want to know what your secret is, not only to love, but to life. And then we have that great opportunity to point them in the direction of our wonderful Father. Okay, what's another question we can ponder out of our text today? Okay, well, how about this one? How did God demonstrate His love for us according to 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10? Okay, well, God showed His love by sending His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. Okay, true love is sacrificial. Now, a lot of times people don't like that word. Oftentimes when I sit down with a couple that may be struggling or they may be having some troubles, you know, one of the things that I'll say is before I hear anything about them, I'll say, I want you to identify somewhere along the way the selfishness in what you're getting ready to tell me. I said, I don't even know what it is yet. I said, but I want you to think about personally the selfishness in what you're getting ready to tell me. And I'll say that to both of those couples. I said, because the majority of the time, what happens is, you know, we get miffed because we don't get our way. Is it selfish that we want to have our way in everything? And folks, last time I checked, the Lord said that when we give our life to Him, He's got a plan for us. He wants us to live life His way, the way He has it prescribed for us. And by the way, when you do that, what you're going to find is that it's not in the doldrums. It is the greatest experience that you've ever had in your life. Okay? So true love is sacrificial. God's act of sending Jesus for our salvation is the ultimate display of love. It emphasizes that love involves three different things. Okay? Now think about this. As you ponder it, as the Holy Spirit puts on your heart, love requires or involves at least three different things. There's probably more, but here are three that I just want to throw at you today. It involves action. You know, you need to take action on that love. Number two is sacrifice. There are some things that you're going to sacrifice to love in a more perfect way. I can't say perfect way because God's love is the only perfect love, but we should strive for it. So yeah, there are going to be sacrifices that we're going to have to make to love in a more perfect way. And then there needs to be this one. You ready? Here's number three, willingness. Are you willing to do that? I can't tell you how many times that people would just sit back and say, I'm just not willing to do that. You know, well, you mean you can't make some sacrifices for that loved one? Nope, not going to do it. Yeah, you mean that you cannot have some action in your life that shows that love towards somebody else? Nope, not going to do it. Well, folks, that's an issue that you're going to have to get worked out with the Holy Spirit because He is, you know, putting it on your heart to deal with in those ways. So when you think about that, you know, that's how we look at this particular passage, and remember that love involves those three things. I'll hit them for you again: action, sacrifice, and willingness, okay? As you think about those things, reflect on the sacrifices made for you. I mean, how many people have made sacrifices for you that are in your sphere of influence that are around you today? Yeah, how can you imitate Christ's sacrificial love in your life towards other people? Now, I've said before, I get it. There are some people out there that are just hard to love. But yet God says, he tells us that we still need to love those folks. And people say, well, they're my enemy. I said, well, that doesn't help you either because the Lord tells us that we're supposed to love our enemies and pray for those who are against us. You know, do you do that? Okay. Listen, how about identifying a need? Yeah, how do we take action on those points that we just mentioned? You know, when you reflect on sacrifice, particularly on sacrifice, yeah, how can you imitate that Christ's sacrificial love in your own life? Well, one of the things that you can do is you can identify need in your community, you can identify need in your church, you can identify a place where you can serve sacrificially. And when I say that, I mean giving of your time, giving of your resources, or giving of your energy without expecting anything in return. See, that's usually where the big part of it comes in. People, a lot of times, will do that, but what happens is they expect something in return. Well, that's not sacrifice. Sacrifice means I'm doing this, you know, for you. I don't expect to receive anything in return on that. Can you do that this week? Think about a place in your community or church where you can serve sacrificially without having any expectation for something to come back to you. All right, let me hit another question in our text and then we'll try to kind of wrap it down for today. Yeah, what does it mean for love to be made complete among us? We read this in 1 John 4:12. Okay, when we love one another, God's love is made complete in us. Okay, it suggests that God's love reaches into its intended purpose when we channel it to others. You know, completing the cycle of love from God to us and then through us to other people. So did you get that? Let me hit it again. It suggests that God's love reaches its intended purpose when we channel it to other people. You know, completing that cycle of love where God gives it to us and then God is expecting us to disseminate that through the other people that are in our lives, that are around us, wherever we go, wherever we stay, where we live, where we work, what we do, and in every aspect, okay? So how can we make application to that? Well, you can engage in a community. And by the way, when I say community, that doesn't necessarily mean a particular place. That can mean a community of people. That can mean your church as a community. That can mean your actual community, your neighbors on your street or whatever. So let's make sure we identify community properly. So what I said is you can engage in a community where love can flourish and multiply. You know, consider how you can contribute to making God's love complete in your church or in your community group or wherever you may go or wherever you may be. You know, are you being a productive part of that, loving people? You know, it's so interesting sometimes that what happens is when we get groups together, they can be somewhat cliquish. And then what happens is people don't feel like they're loved as a part of that community, and often that's why they walk away. They're sitting back going, man, I don't want to be here because nobody else wants me to be here. Are we properly showing them God's love in the manner in which the Lord would have us to do that, okay? Yeah, what's another action we can take? Look, listen, you can start or join a small group focused on serving others and sharing God's love actively in so many different practical ways. That's one way. You know, that's part of the reason why it's been such a blessing for many of us at Central Baptist Church to be involved in the North Carolina Baptist on Missions disaster relief and recovery efforts, because it is a way that we can show God's love and share God's love with those who are hurting in a very, very practical way that honestly is life-changing to them. Okay, so when we try to put all this stuff together that we've been looking at in our passage today, let's talk for just a second about the biblical truth that we learn. Okay, and this is what we can boil it all down into this statement, and the statement is this: authentic Christian love is a reflection of God's nature and sacrificial love. It completes the cycle of love He intends between Himself and His creation, transforming lives and transforming communities. And that's really what it boils down to, okay? So how can we take some action on that today? What is it that the Holy Spirit's put on your heart as far as being able to take action with what you've learned today, okay? Well, one of the things is that you can make a personal commitment to cultivate and to express God's love intentionally, okay? Intentionally seeking opportunities to let His love flow through you to other people. And I use a different word. A lot of times, you know, we understand what it means to be intentional. I like to use the term purpose. Can we purpose as we go forward from today to do this? Well, to do what? To make that personal commitment to express God's love. Do it intentionally to those in your spheres of influence and around you. And may we seek the opportunity to let His love that He has bestowed upon us flow through us to other people, that they might truly see His love and then desire that love in their own life. You know, what a fantastic way to be a witness when people see you and they see God's love in you and they've experienced God's love through you. Man, they want to be a part of it. That's a tremendous way to be able to be a witness in the life of somebody else, simply by taking one of the first characteristics of God that we know, and that is the fact that He truly is the foundation of love. All right? Well, listen here. In just a moment, I'm going to pray with you as we close our time out. I want to tell you what we're going to be reading and studying this week as we get ready to go into next Wednesday night's Bible study. But this week, I want you to spend some time reading the book of Philippians, particularly chapter 2. And next week, as we continue in our series on developing Christ-like character, we're going to look at humility and servanthood out of Philippians chapter 2, particularly verses 3 through 8. So be read up on that, and we will definitely be looking forward to seeing you right here next week for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Let me pray with you as we close our time together out today. Father, as we come to you now, we're once again grateful for the fact that you truly are love. Lord, I pray that today you have sparked some things in our lives. Lord, maybe there are some areas that we need to do better in. Maybe there are some areas that we need to commit more to being a vessel of your love. Lord, we truly experience your love, but Lord, help us to be able to be that channel through which others can experience your love as well. Help us to understand that you truly are the essence and foundation of love itself. And Lord, help us to love other people in a manner that is pleasing to you. And Lord, we can't wait to see what you'll do in the lives of other people as they draw close to you and are surrounded by your love. Use us as your vessels to be able to reach into the hearts and the lives of so many people that you have placed us in that they need to hear or see or experience our story. So Lord, give us a great week as we go forward. Help us to keep our eyes open for the opportunities that you give us. And Lord, we do pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey folks, once again, we want to thank you for joining us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. If you are in the area, we would certainly love for you to come by and have a visit with us on Sunday mornings. Our service times are 10:45 on Sunday morning. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We do have other available options for discipleship throughout the week. We have Sunday school classes. We've got small groups. We have Awana for our children's age groups. Man, we would certainly love to see you. And if you do drop by, be sure to introduce yourself to me. I'm Pastor Roy. I'd love to have an opportunity to meet you. And I hope to see you Sunday. God bless. Have a great week.